that's you. Oh, can you close that door? There's an echo, please.
No, I'm not getting up. You do it. You do it. I'm not getting up. I'm
Where's
sick
our
of getting
slaves
up.
Of kids when you need them? Don't worry, all the Karens out there. Kids are not at the age where they even listen yet, so they can never be a slave. Not yet. In the future, they will be.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to 10 Down with Terry and David. We are back!
Terry, please, why did you choose that coat? I reckon you went upstairs and just said, I need to pick something that's going to really, really annoy David.
Why? What's wrong with this?
It's ridiculous.
It.
You're blending into the wall.
For anybody
you're
that's
the color
not
of
watching, visually, we are... I'm wearing a big grizzly bear thing jacket because I'm cold. I'm cold. The house is freezing. It's so cold. Ever since we've got back from... Where were we? Portugal.
Rainy Portugal.
Rainy Portugal. I have just been Baltic and the house has been...
Baltic.
Baltic. Baltic. We
could have been divorced since
been
we come back.
Over.
It's just murder because we both have two different ideas as to how to heat the house and how to keep the house warm when we're away.
Well, my idea is right and yours is wrong.
Well, we know that because you are who you are and I am who I am. So we'll move on.
What does that mean? Basically, we live in an A-rated house and it has underfloor heating and each room has a stat and you can adjust it to what you want the room to be like. And when... Well, I tell them actually where this started, why it started. So we went to Portugal over the Christmas and when we returned, David had turned down all the stats in the house, which is fine. And the house was absolutely freezing because we arrived into frost. I opened the door and the house was freezing. I was like, Grant, so we ran around and started putting up the stats. But I went upstairs.
Ice is my life.
I went upstairs and I felt heat coming from upstairs. And I was like, oh, one of the rooms must be on. So I went down and Sydney's room was on. And on the floor was a nappy from Miles that was cooking away on the floor for a week. So you can imagine the smell. Then I went into
the main bathroom. Imagine I was telling this story in this
the
format.
The main bathroom.
Okay.
I opened the door and the heat was bellowing out.
Bellowing
out. And the smell was something I've never experienced in my life. I was a nurse for a very long time, right? And this made me cry. I actually cried. David took a big dehydrated wee first thing in the morning before we left for Portugal.
4 o'clock in the morning.
And left it there.
And forgot because it was manic to get out of the house. Get on with
left
it, Terry.
Left it there.
But you
to
told
cook.
Me, you shouted at me, tell the true story. You shouted at me over the balcony. You went, I was about to leave to go and collect Jake.
Like, you're like, don't David move Fitzpatrick. Anywhere.
You go, don't you move. Don't you fucking move. And you went, you. About the toilet.
Don't argue
with
me.
And then you went, you should be ashamed of yourself, right? And I should have went back on the Ring doorbell and checked because I stood at the door and I was like, I should have been ashamed of myself, like, because I left wee in my fucking toilet.
No, but David, you have an awful habit of going to the toilet and then not flushing it.
But what's my reason for it?
David, you can't use that as a reason.
You're too close.
Because we were together. We're together 13 years and you're doing it 13 years. Our toilet in St. Margaret's before we went to Australia was brown because of you.
Brown toilet, Dave.
Stain toilet, Dave. Stain your toilet. Stain your toilet. Stain your toilet.
The two videos actually look like you are like miles away from me, but you're not. You're only like a punch away and you're very close. You're within punching distance.
Well, David, just put it this way. You're lucky that you didn't get divorced. Now, when I say I cried, I actually cried over it. So David went off to collect Jake and then I was upstairs sobbing because I asked you to clean the toilet and you went in and you just put a little miserable bit of bleach in it, scrubbed it a little bit and then
walked
out.
How would you know it was see-through bleach? How would you know?
I just know because it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I actually walked in and like cried. I cried because I was so overstimulated.
Cry your eyes, mate.
David, I'm not...
Stop!
I want
to I know, he's gonna hit it. Ow, Terry.
I mean, it really annoyed me. Don't do that again, okay? Anyway.
Jake is chewing a stress toy. As you comb your hair like Cruella de Vil.
We had a lovely Christmas.
Oh, it was fantastic. Absolutely stress-free Christmas.
It was
so
stressful.
Beautiful.
We hosted and I'm never doing it again.
Never.
I'm just never doing it again. We hosted. It was our second year hosting.
Well, you're full of pony.
It's chaos. I'm going to be away next year. I'm going to be in Australia. I'm manifesting it. I'm not staying here. But we went anyway. We hosted for Christmas and yeah, it was nuts. I didn't enjoy it. Like, I was so stressed the day before. Then the morning of, I didn't do any prep the night before. So the morning of, I literally at 10:30, I was in the kitchen.
That's because you were trying to be a mom and get prepared for Santi. And then Christmas morning, you were trying to be a mom again by playing with Sydney's toys. And then it was like
10:30.
You're like, hold on a second. The Griswolds are on their way. So we need to get the house prepared.
But yeah. Anyway, it was just so stressful. And then Stephen's day, I started to feel a bit sick. And then the day after Stephen's day, we flew to Portugal. No, the day, 2 days after Stephen's day. So the 28th, wasn't it? I started to feel real sick around the 27th. And I was absolutely in bits over in Portugal.
The plague.
For 4 days.
The plague.
4 whole days. And I tried to show up and try to be there for you all and have
you were
a nice,
there all right but you were dead. There you were like in the corner like all crunched and you know every now and then you were like coughing and going to the toilet and then when you weren't in my presence telling me about how you felt you were texting me to tell me about how you felt so like you'd leave you're like you have to like mushing my brain over how you felt and then you'd go, I need to go to the toilet and you'd go to the toilet and the next of all my phone would vibrate while the two kids are screaming and you'd be like yeah, I just pushed out an entire lake out of my arse. I was like,
can you say that?
But could you not just please give me a break from the tastes and the smells and the visual of what you were doing? Like we'd sit down for something to eat.
I actually don't know how you fancy me.
No, but you'd sit down for something to eat, right? And I'd be ordering my food and then my food would come and you'd go, that's going to make me get sick.
Oh no, for 4 days I didn't eat. That for four
me get
whole
sick.
Days.
It's going to make me sick. So you were turning me off my food.
And you know what David did? He wore a perfume to the airport when I wasn't feeling sick. When I was feeling sick, sorry. He wore a perfume to the airport.
It's just you all over, Derry. That's just you all over. Don't pull it. Go on.
He's talking about a knot in the
There's a
cable.
Knot in our cable. And the cable's like this. Go on.
I was sick on the airplane. And David wore the most potent spray I've ever smelt known to man. It was you're not allowed ever wear it again. He's been told he's never wearing it again. Like the aftershave was.
But it's the one aftershave I always get compliments on.
I made him get in the shower as soon as he arrived to Portugal, and then I had to wash Miles because Miles smelled like him.
But the whole way through the airport, did you not realize that you said like you could have just said to yourself?
Saying,
no, but you could have said to yourself, you know what? There's no need for me to make this any more stressful than what it is. Because obviously we kept coming into contact with each other between the baby and Sydney passing the baby to you. And you'd just go, every time you'd go, that fucking smell. You've been, and I, like adding to it. Like, and I was like, at one point I was like, what do you want me to do? If I don't smell nice, I smell like shite. And either way, you're going to give out to me. So, what did you want me to do?
I just wanted you to help with the kids, but also fuck off. Anyway, it was very stressful. At one point in Portugal, I lay on the beach and like I was in the fetal position and Miles is asleep in the basin beside me. We had to take the bassinet off the buggy base and bring it down onto the beach. So I looked like a homeless person with a baby sleeping beside
me.
And
the bag of food that we brought like for the kids, like the snacks.
Yeah.
Like Sydney had eaten one or two like and the leftover wrappers. There was a swirl of wind and it was just this, the wrapper kept hitting off you and going around in a circle as I was playing with the kids and I was looking at you from a distance going like, you honestly look like a carcass.
I was dead.
Yeah.
I was dead, but I was trying to show up and like enjoy the holiday as well. And then my friend Louise arrived with her family on the Wednesday and it kind of stopped. But only yesterday her husband caught the plague and she was like, Terry McAvoy, how did you last in Portugal? Like she was telling me all the symptoms and we were actually howling. We made a nickname for him.
What was it?
Tap bum curry.
Tap bum curry. And it's not because he had a curry arse.
I'll let you use your imagination.
I'm sweating here. I don't get a break.
There's always,
oh my god, the smell. And come here now, just to finish up on
the smell of shit in this house.
Just to finish up on Portugal, right? So this hotel we'd stayed at before, myself and Terry in July, and we were like, oh, the rooms are amazing, great facilities for the kids, beach all day, you don't need to leave, so let's book here.
And then I got a notion.
No, let me finish. Terry got a notion then and was like, you know what, I don't think there's going to be enough space for the four of us, because obviously we need to sleep at some point, so I think we need two rooms. So I was like, right, okay. So I requested two rooms next to each other. Put in, and they were like, we'll do our best. So they got us two rooms next to each other.
They weren't rooms. They were apartments.
Apart hotels. They were right next to each other, but they were fucking huge. You could have slept six people in each one of them.
Well, no, you could sleep one, two, three, four.
Six. Six people in each one, right? So we both stood there and went, there's absolutely no need for us to have the two of these. Then you got sick. It was like, right.
Thank God.
Thank God we need that, because I can't get a break. You can't get a break. But every time I walked into your room to like see you each morning, because me and Miles had a lad's holiday. I slept at him every night for the week.
And me and Sydney, right?
And you and Sydney slept in the dungeon. You'd walk in and this like quiff of green smoke would just come out of the room. And Sydney would be walking around burping. You'd be burping. Everyone's farting. It was a vile room. And the cleaners didn't even go in. The cleaners didn't even go in because they knew. They used to just open the door and throw the towels in, fresh towels. It was a horrible room. Horrible people.
That's not true about the cleaners. They came in and changed the bed. They were shy on the bed.
Oh my God.
From Miles. I was changing them one morning and there was shy on the bed. Like, it's just, it was...
Everyone in the hotel talked about us.
Everyone. I actually have tears. Everyone always does talk about us and I can't believe we're sharing this. Anyway.
Holidays are shit with kids, Terry.
They're
absolutely shit. They're so shit. They're so stressful. It's like, go away. You're like, oh, I can't wait to eat good food and rest and get some sunshine. There was no sunshine. We didn't get to eat because every time I got to eat something, you were turned off what I was eating.
David got a fish with a head on it and I had to run away from the table.
Quickly. We went to that restaurant on the very second night. We went to that restaurant. Remember the Italian restaurant that was nobody there? And your mum was like, it was a pizzeria that had no bread. Remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember that place? Right. We ordered the food. And Terry, as we're in the middle of eating, Terry goes, oh no, I need to go to the toilet really quick. I'm going to get sick. And she got up and ran again. It was real like frantic. There was no music or nothing. So they heard your chair pull out. Did you get me?
Yeah.
And you ran to the toilet. And as you ran to the toilet to get sick, Miles had just had a punami. When I took him out of his buggy, it was all up his back.
Sydney was because we didn't have Pampers on him.
Yeah. Sydney was like, oh, I don't like this. And it was just, I was so overstimulated. I was going to just throw myself out onto the road.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to do.
We nearly went home. Only for my friend was coming over. We would have went home. It wasn't a good holiday. I didn't have a good time.
No, it was terrible.
I enjoyed it when Louise got there.
Yeah.
And the kids. Because like, you know, the more kids that are there, the easier parenting is. And Sydney was distracted.
Mm.
And then obviously it was nice to have the company, but like.
Never again. Never going on holidays again with kids.
And there's me looking up, going to Dubai. Anyway, me, Miles and Sydney, all struck down. But there's a big question mark over Miles being sick. Because I made a discovery recently. And if you are a new parent, you need to listen to this. Okay, so for the last 4 weeks, I'd say, Miles has been having these episodes where he absolutely screams blue murder for about 40 to 50 minutes.
Second.
Sorry, if you can hear crunching in the background, Jake has his toy. Look at the way he's looking at you.
Let's let him up onto the chair.
Come on, up here. Get up here. Up here. Jake, up. The smell is shite in here.
look at all the cables.
Come on, Jake. Up here.
Get out the
way. Jake!
Get up, Jake. On, up.
I love you so much, Jake. Lie down. Terry, your foot just came onto my camera. Terry, don't push him onto me, Terry. I'm so overstimulated. I'm too hot. It's too hot to handle. Terry, will you stop? Terry. Terry. Terry, I'm going to freak out.
Anyway, for the last... That's very tight looking.
I'm so overstimulated. There's cables coming everywhere. I feel like I'm on an ICU table.
So, yes, for the past 4 weeks, Miles has been having these episodes for 40 minutes to 50 minutes a night. Evening, he will just absolutely freak out, scream blue murder. He's in so much pain. I can feel his tummy rumbling, like all these problems. I said it to a few of my mom friends and they were like, oh, it sounds like colic, or have you tried this, have you tried that, and maybe he needs to go see an osteopath. But we brought him to Portugal and it didn't happen at all over there. And then the day we came home, it happened. And I was like, no, something, we're doing something here that's causing this, like there's something in this house. So I realized that the kettle. So we make his bottles in the kettle, and I realized that I use that. We've always used bottled water, by the way, for both Sydney and Miles for making up their bottles. And we were doing the same in Portugal, but I use the same kettle as Miles for tea. I make my tea.
And you use tap water.
And I use tap water, like straight out of tap. And anyway, I was like, it must be the kettle. So I made David go out and get a new kettle. And we used, this is at like 9 o'clock at night. I was like, we need a new kettle. So, oh my God, did you see that?
Yeah.
He just pushed me. So anyway, David picked up a new kettle, and it's stopped happening. And I firmly believe it's because of the tap water in Ireland. Like I said, how many years am I saying this? Ever since we came back from Australia.
My ma said it from forever. It's something in the water.
It's something in the water. Like when I came home from Australia for about, I'd say 3 or 4 months, I had stomach pains from drinking the water in Ireland. And ever since then, like I'll do my best to drink bottled water. Like we buy the big 5 liters. But yeah, there you go. Little tip for you.
Have you ever drank or filled up a glass from the tap water and just smelled the water?
Yeah, it smells
like chlorine.
Chlorine. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. The water in Ireland is a disgrace. It's disgusting. So anyway, I don't know. I just said I'd share that because like how many people are making up formula for babies and they're like, oh, he's got colic or he's got this or he's got that. And it's probably the feckin' water.
Hmm.
Like, are they all using bottled water or just bottle or water straight from the tap? It'd make you wonder.
Water from the tap and boiling it, and you think that you're getting it all out, but you're not.
No, sure, there's fluoride in the water, and the boiling it's not going to get out. So I don't know. If you have a child that's colic or like reflux, you're having problems with their digestion.
Run and get yourself a kettle.
Get a new kettle and use bottled water. I'm telling you, Evian.
Evian. That cough is probably the most infuriating thing. You've had that cough for 13 years.
13 years you've had that cough.
You have, Terry, and it's always the same format. It's
I have had
it's
a chest
always,
x-ray.
It always goes.
Look, he looks like he's sucking.
It always goes.
Go on, David.
And then you'll pause and you'll go. Like if I'm.
Stop.
See?
It's my face is so ugly when I cough.
So I'm sure everyone has seen the chaos that happened. Before we put the Christmas tree up, when Dahi pulled out the Christmas tree out of the shed and we had some furry friends that decided to move in. Now that Christmas tree is staring at me.
No, people don't know on the podcast. So
they
basically,
do know.
David raw dogged the Christmas tree into the shed last year.
Raw dog.
He just threw the Christmas tree into the shed last year without a cover. And the mother of all banshee spiders lived in that tree and attracted all the male spiders into the tree. And then David brought it into her house.
All the male spiders, so are they all gay?
No, there's one female and then all the males come to mate with her. And then she eats them when she's done with them. Do you not notice?
No, but you said the mother of all. Yeah, I thought you meant it was move on.
Anyway,
the whole hall was covered in spiders.
It was, and there was killings.
Right. So the tree.
Look at him looking at me. Now he's going to get poked up the arse.
The tree, not me. The tree is currently sitting there. I'm not allowed to take it down because Terry wants these bags for the Christmas tree. Do you realize we're actually in the middle of recording here?
Yeah.
You realise that, yeah? You're also annoying me. These bags, how big are they, by the way?
They're enough to fit a body in them. Everyone will think I'm storing my Christmas tree, but I'm going to embalm you and put it out in the back.
Well, that might get a little bit of peace out there, Terry. Speaking of peace, last night myself and Terry, we managed to get ourselves, we went to a meeting in the city and then we went after for a nice dinner at the new Ivy Asia.
I didn't think I was going to make it because I was sick again.
Yeah. Oh, she complained about her farts and her stomach all the way in.
No. I had flu-like symptoms and so did Sydney.
Now it's the next thing.
We sent Sydney in for a second day as a crash and we were like, oh, we're going to get so much done. And then literally an hour later, I was like, can you come collect her? She's got a temperature of 39. And then I
started bouncing out the door.
And then I start getting symptoms. I got an Aura ring and it was telling me that I was sick before I was even sick.
I could have told you that, Terry.
You're sick. What were you talking about there?
I don't know, but I'm imagining if I had a cut across, you would have chopped my head off.
Oh, we went for dinner.
Yes. So we went to the lovely Ivy Asia. Food was great. And will you stop? Stop it.
I'm not touching them.
Oh my God. The food was great and place was rammed. Anyway, this young gentleman comes into the restaurant and sits at the table next was for a table, what looked like was a table for two, but it was he sat by himself, put his AirPods in, ordered his food and sat there.
But he sat staring into
space. And he sat staring around the restaurant like people watching next to us as his food came. And his food would come and he'd eat it and blah, blah, blah. Next of all, he orders
I turned to David and I said, he's a food critic. Like he's sitting there critiquing the food. He's going to write a big article about how he sat beside two gobshites who are ordering everything off the menu. I thought he was a food critic.
Okay. Anyway, he orders this funky cocktail, which...
It was a mocktail.
A mocktail, which had candy floss, and then they poured this pink or red liquid into it, and he drank it away. And that's how the conversation started. I obviously passed comment about the crazy cocktail, and then we ended up having a conversation with this lad.
He said, it's needed after a hard day's work. And
so go on, and you I take said, the next bit.
I said, oh... Was it bad? Yeah. And he was like, oh, you've no idea. And I said, oh, how bad? And he said, lost a couple of million for my company. Mm. And I was like, what? So anyway, we got talking to him and it turned out he is a newly qualified investor. He's just finished
for a big global firm.
Global intern. Yeah, he was an intern. And yeah, anyway, something happened and they ended up losing this money. He was kind of telling us, but I don't like share too much in case like...
Nah, he's already sacked.
But anyway, he was telling us and we were like, oh Jesus. Do you know what, Dave? I actually meant to say this to you. I was like, it could be worse. And you kept telling me he was going to be on the front cover of the newspaper. You just kept saying that. You were like, oh, we'll see. I'm sure on the front cover in the newspaper. You said it twice and I was like, will you stop?
I also said to him, you would have been better off telling us that you... I said to him, I was expecting you to say that you were on a blind date and you got stood up.
He was only 22 and basically there was not, he hadn't got anybody senior when he was doing something and long story short, something happened.
He made a little mistake, which turned out to be a big mistake.
And it cost a lot of money to the investors and the company.
But the point I wanted to make is that, because it leads on to my next...
But we stopped talking to him for a while.
Yeah, the point I wanted to get to, which leads to my next... topic was about New Year's resolutions, right? It was great to see somebody, as you said, he was 22.
Yeah.
Right? When I was 22, I didn't have the mindset of what he had for sure.
What were you doing when you were 22?
Oh, I was just being an absolute gobshite.
Taking out loans, buying Mitsubishis.
I've never had a Mitsubishi.
Fitzy had a Mitsy.
But he doesn't drink and he's never drank.
That's amazing.
Which was great.
He
doesn't drink. He's never drank. And it just goes to show that how things have changed in the past 10, 15 years where there's so many people now that just have no interest in drinking.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's because, I don't know if you were the same, but when we were growing up, it was like, don't you dare drink. Mm. Don't you dare. Don't you let me catch it. And we were like obsessed.
You were obsessed with doing what you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah, we were obsessed with it. Like our parents, like we were around them so much when they were drinking. Like it was like you go to a pub, you sit there for hours and hours and hours and, you know, on a Sunday and like people are smoking and stuff like that. Now, my mom and dad didn't really do that, but like there was situations where we were there, like as in for communions, confirmations, or we'd go out to like, you know, my nannies and everybody would meet at the pub. And, you know, it was very much like something that was done in Ireland. And I feel like because we thought that was the norm, we were mad to do it. But our generation doesn't necessarily do that. So maybe the younger generation now is just like, meh, I don't really see the appeal. Like, because...
I agree, but I also think there's also a lot more information out there as to why you shouldn't and how you can actually still get on with your life and do all the things you want to do.
I don't enjoy drinking.
I enjoy drinking in the moment, but I hate how I feel afterwards.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody enjoys a hangover.
The hangover and the anxiety and all that. Like, I love the social side of it, you know. Like, I love going out, being with my friends, getting giggly, like, just having the crack. But I absolutely hate how tired I am the next day.
I think everything has changed since we have kids.
Yeah.
It's because it just becomes not worth it.
No. Like, that time we went out for our pals from Christmas in December. And oh my God, the next day was absolute hell coming home.
Where did we go?
When we stayed in town in the West. College Green.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the next day, just coming home. Like Mir, we weren't absolutely dying. It was just tiredness.
Yeah, because you're already exhausted and then you push you push yourself out of it to try and go and enjoy a few drinks you've earned it. And then you just put yourself into even a worse position because you're feeling like shit.
But anyway, it was, yeah, it was an interesting dinner because we sat talking to him for a while and yeah.
Which leads into my next question, what I was saying a minute ago, is that your New Year's resolutions, just quickly give me two of your New Year's resolutions.
To be quite honest with you, I sit down every single year and I write down, as you know, my goals for the year, and a lot of them are always the same.
Mm.
This year, one of my goals is definitely to just spend more quality time with the kids because I've been going fucking a million miles an hour trying to hit goals and things like that. And I find, like, you know, in the afternoons, I'm always like editing and uploading and answering emails and getting back to WhatsApps and stuff like that, where I really want to slow down this year in a sense, like in the afternoon, I just want to cut off work time.
Mm.
And also I want to travel more this year with the kids. And I also want to just enjoy Miles and all the milestones he's going to hit this year, like, because he's going to walk this year, he's going to talk this year, he's going to eat. You know, we've got all of that to look forward to. And I just really want to lap it up because I don't think I'll have another baby.
Well, my two New Year's resolutions would be one similar to what you said, being more present, but also just blocking out the noise, blocking out all the shit. And stop worrying about the stupid shit. It's not worth it.
Nope.
You know what? I'm actually sick of watching videos of inspiration when I don't even follow it up myself.
Really?
Yeah, so just
get going.
Actually do it. Like, I found myself last night and a couple of nights before, like, there's things I want to get done or get started, and I'm like, what day is it? Oh, Jesus, today is Thursday. Today is Wednesday. I'm going to get it. Start next week. And it's always about start next week or start this or do this. Yeah. So start now.
You know what your problem is? And I've said it to you for years. Not your problem, but like, it's something that you're going to have to sacrifice. You like going to bed in the evenings and you switch off and you make yourself a yogurt bowl and you sit there with
that
your
really
peppermint.
You.
Yeah, it does.
That bothers.
You sit there with your peppermint tea and you switch off, and that's great. But you have to be willing to kind of put in the hours outside of hours, if that makes sense. Like, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about like getting back into your entrepreneurship and, you know, you have a few ideas and things like that and you want to get them into play. The reality is that we've got kids and during the day is hectic and, you know, we've obviously got work that we need to get done. And if you want to reach your goals for the other things, you're going to have to put in the hours at nighttime. That's just the way it is. Like, you know yourself, like, it's been days where I've worked until 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know me, I'm incapable of leaving it for the next day. Like, you know, if I have a job that needs to be edited, I will sit up and like get it done. And I just feel like that's probably what you need to be willing to sacrifice, is to do a few late nights.
But kind of whoop ass there.
Yeah.
For you. Sydney's lost again, another one of our remotes. She hides them and then she forgets where she's put them.
I'm bothering him, am I?
You are. Leave him alone. He just wants to rest. But yeah, that to come out of it, what I really want to say is that the biggest thing is about being present. And like what you just said, is that Miles is coming into that really good stage where he's going to be transitioning into like a toddler, where he's going to be
I love this
feeding
time,
weaning, walking, crawling, talking. So yeah, because I know when Sydney was that age, I really did make the most of it.
Yeah, we all did.
I just want to make sure that I don't miss out.
I know. Because you do blink and then it's over.
Mm.
He's just such a good baby though. He's such a happy baby.
I've never known a child that smiles with their eyes.
Yeah, he's so
like smiling. He has a really small mouth to smile and his eyes open up when
they
he smiles.
Light up my world. We call him Smiley Miley. That's why it was bothering me when everyone was like, oh, he's just like, you know, got reflux or he's got this. And I was like, I know my child and there's something causing this because he is the happiest baby in the world. So if he's crying like this, something's bothering him and it's not reflux because he's never had reflux. Like,
touch wood.
He's going to have it.
Mm. But anyway, that's where we are at the moment.
I'm, by the way, I can see that you have a fire in your belly for this year and I'm loving it. So keep her lit. Keep her lit. Okay, we'll quickly do a listener email and then we'll wrap this up. So we've got one here. Hi gang, happy new year. Long time fan of the pod. I wanted to write in as the new year begins because this one feels like a turning point for me. After 5 years of living in America, I've decided to move back home, even though most of my friends in NYC are still trying to talk me out of it. They keep reminding me of the life that I've built there, and I get it. Leaving isn't easy, but this year my goals feel different. They feel less about the buzz of the city and more about slowing down, being closer to family and creating a sense of home again. Any tips would be greatly appreciated. I can relate.
We can both relate. Jesus, like living in the city, like the wild city, like New York for 5 years, that's good going. Like that is good going.
Yeah.
Because it's like New York is hectic.
Yeah, but I get it. I get the want to come home and be close to your family. And I think it's really important to lean into that because I don't regret coming home from Australia at all. Mm. I don't regret it at all. I know at the time it took you about a year like to actually accept it. Mm. And it was really hard for you. But I like in hindsight, do you think that was one of the best things that we've ever done?
Yeah, because right now, like I've said to you before, is that if you gave me the opportunity to go back to Australia right now, I don't think I'd go back for long term because everything is here.
Yeah, everything is here. And I feel like...
But the sounds of it, that girl like doesn't have any ties like other than New York. She doesn't have any kids. She's not married. So
if she wants to slow down and be closer to your family, I think definitely lean into it. And, you know, obviously if you can get your residency or your citizenship, get that before you leave, because then if you want to go back, you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't regret coming home at all. Like there's days where I think to myself, thank God I'm home, because although Australia was amazing and we had such a great time, we talked about this on the podcast. For me, I was really lonely over there. I didn't have the connections that I do here, like my friends, my family. Mm. And I can't imagine having kids over there and like having to find people to help rather than having the help.
Yeah.
Like we have such help here, and like we don't even have to second think about it. Like we don't have to think about it. We just have it. Like, you know, if Karen's even not available, my mom, Cassie, do you know, there's always somebody that you can ask. Mm. And I just can't imagine not having that and that trust.
Well, she did point on saying about like that her friends are trying, it's almost like they're trying to talk her out of it.
Yeah. But when you're in the bubble though, it's hard to see outside it.
Mm. Did we have anyone that tried to talk us out of it?
No. I think everyone that knew me anyway, they were like, go.
But also a lot of our close friends had already moved back home.
Yeah.
So that, I know we still have good friends that are still out there, but like some of our core friends were already gone. So it was almost like they were saying, yeah, just come home.
Yeah, I think Stacey and Dan, when we said we were leaving, they were shocked. Like, they were like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how do you just make that decision?
Jesus, they're there a long time now.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah.
But listen, to finish it off, I reckon just stick to what you... Stick to your gut, as
Follow
Terry says.
Your gut.
Follow your gut, and then everything else will fall into place. And if it doesn't, if it's not what you were supposed to do, then just go back to New York.
Yeah. Anyway, it's lovely to be back. We hope that you had a lovely Christmas and a happy New Year. Jake is looking at me now like I have 10 heads, and so is David, so we better
wrap it up.
Thanks so much for listening. Looking forward to spending 2026 having the chat, sharing the madness and having fun. So we'll catch you next week.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.